Well, hello there. Hello, Eastlake Church, Imperial Beach. It's good to see all of you guys here. That's right. That's right. Hi, my name is Chris. I'm one of the staff pastors here in our church network, and we celebrate what God is doing here all the time in our staff meetings and cheer you guys on from all of our locations. So it's good to finally be here and be able to share some of the things that I've learned as I've walked this Jesus thing out. Well, hey, we're in a series of talks called Why Church? And for me, I have asked that question a whole lot in my life. I grew up in a Christian family, but I wasn't necessarily the best Christian. I don't even know if I was a Christian, even though we went to church each and every Sunday. We would attend this little church in LA County, which should have felt like we were in the middle of nowhere where no one lived in a rural area. Unfortunately, we were in the middle of a big city, yet our church was tiny, like it was in a rural area. And there's nothing wrong with small churches, except for this one only wasn't reaching anybody. And there is something not great about a church that's not bringing people in to hear the good news of Jesus. And so I would ask this question, why church every weekend? It seemed like Monday through Friday I had to get up early to get to the high school, right? And then Saturday I would be lucky enough to sleep in if I wasn't scheduled to work at McDonald's. And then on Sunday my grandmother was yanking me out of bed, the one day I get to sleep, and making me dress up in a nice suit and tie and head on into church. And I would say, why are we here? I did not get why we had to attend a church service. Now, later on in life, God got a hold of who I am and helped me course correct some really bad habits I have entered into, and I learned a beautiful thing about our church. You see, I want to welcome you all to church today. And no, I'm not talking about Mendoza Elementary School, as amazing as this property is. And I'm not talking about what the setup team, how they've done the great supernatural job of changing a school into a church building for the day. But I'm talking about the gathering of people. You see, in Scripture, it's quite clear that you and I as people, we build a community, and that's called the church. We've also called in Scripture the body of Christ. And I'll get into that in a moment, why that's so important for us to connect the idea of the body of Christ and that we are the church. You see, there's this saying that people have coined as they read Scripture, this idea that really is a linchpin to what we're doing as a ministry. You might have heard our mission statement is people helping people find and follow Jesus. The reason we have that mission statement, it's about you helping people find and follow Jesus, because we believe this truth. We believe that the church is the hope for the world. The church is the hope for the world. Now, let me remind you, I'm not talking about what we do here necessarily as an organization. I'm not talking about the band and how talented they are musically, and I'm not talking about whoever's speaking on this platform each week. I'm not talking about a cathedral down the street being the hope for the world. I'm talking about you. And me, as people, we are the hope of the world. You see, Christ followers in Scripture are called to live like Jesus. No, we're not being called to be more like Jesus each week, to be a god of the world with supernatural powers, like a superhero. But we're called to love and care people like Jesus did. And to be able to do that, we have to live in this tension of serving people. See, if God is our role model, if Jesus was our role model in how he lived his life in Scripture, we can't help but be inspired, if we're truly following Jesus, to want to care, love, and serve others. And when we do that, that heavy burden of being the hope for the world becomes a lot more doable, right? It becomes less of an elephant to eat and more of a party and something that we get to be part of. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about serving, how it benefits you as an individual, how it benefits the church community collectively when we link arms together and do this, and how it benefits people far from Jesus. Because when we serve others, we impact people for God. We extend the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to people who are far from the gospel by showing them that we care and that they matter to us. So let's open up with our theme verse as we've been going through a series of talks called Why Church from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to do righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his return approaches. Again, I believe we're to be inspired to live like Jesus. And as we live this Jesus thing out, we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I call that hands and feet. It's like a metaphor to we get to love and care people like Jesus did. Scripture calls us the body of Christ. And again, it's not some weird, fancy, over-spiritual term of that we become this interesting cadaver walking around town or a zombie, but we become the living expression of Jesus here on this earth. People who might not expect someone to care for them, we get to care and show that they matter. Jesus was our role model, and we're encouraged to be like him more each day. So check this out. Why church? Because in the church, we learn to serve passionately. That's why. One of the reasons we come to church and we gather together as a church, because we learn to serve passionately. We have this saying that we gather and scatter as a community. We gather together on weekend services, and we scatter throughout the week. We gather together again for growth groups, and then we scatter again throughout the week. Then we gather again for service projects, and then we scatter again throughout the weeks. And when we scatter, where it's not a bad thing, we just go about our lives, our home life with our family, friends, going out and hanging out with people. Maybe it's at your jobs and your career, what we're doing for a living. Maybe because we're here in Imperial Beach, it's just beach bumming it and enjoying the people and this beautiful beach that you guys have there. We gather and scatter throughout the week. Yet we're always called to care, love, and serve people around us, both inside the church and outside of the church. I like to think of serving like a snowball effect. You ever hear about how a snowball gains momentum? How's it start? Snow starts as a snowflake. And a snowflake falls down and hits the hillside on the slope, and it gets together with its friends, other snowflakes, and slowly it starts to trickle and gain momentum, and then before you know it, you have a little snowball rolling downhill. And after a while, that snowball turns into a bigger snowball, which turns into a boulder-esque kind of movement, and eventually an avalanche. And an avalanche is an unstoppable force. If you ever research avalanches, it's not like people have a great plan on what to do when an avalanche happens. It's run for your life moment, because this force is going to take over and we can't do anything about it. I like to think of serving like that. Not people scared of us and running for their lives, but that your one act in that moment might not seem like it's impacting too many people. Maybe you brewed the coffee today at church and you're like, what the heck does brewing the coffee have to do around here? Did you know when you brew coffee that it's a thing when someone grabs a cup of coffee and they hold it in their hand, they immediately feel a little bit more comfortable? It's just the idea of holding something like a drink or something in their hand. They now can drop a little bit of their walls. They now have a little bit more casualness about them, and they feel a little bit more comfortable to interact with people. That's why professionals, when they have a networking event, there's always drinks and cocktails in place. Not because of liquid courage, but because when you physically hold something, it immediately does something psychologically in your mind to help people feel casual. You are creating atmospheres for people to have conversations by just brewing coffee. And yet you might not say, Chris, well, that's great that I did that, but I might not have changed someone's life today. Maybe not in that one instance, but when we link arms together and all of us are combining our efforts, we're creating environments for people to feel cared for and to be impacted for Jesus. Jesus served others in Scripture. And again, he's to inspire us to continuously serve others, again, inside the body and outside people who are far from God. So number two in your notes. Did I do number one? No? Okay, number one in your notes. Serving passionately flows out of a relationship with Jesus. Serving passionately flows out of a relationship with Jesus. It's our point where we say, if God, we're to grow more like Jesus, we're to be inspired to be more God, we get to live out this love that's been extended to us. And it helps us care and love for others more. Serving doesn't create a relationship with God, but it's a way for us to express our growing connection with God. Hey, maybe you haven't chosen to cross the line of faith yet. That's okay. Welcome to East Lake Church. I want to encourage you to stick around for a while and maybe even join a ministry team, join a group, be part of the community. You can belong way before you ever believe in Jesus. And that is a great thing. But if you have crossed the line of faith, I want you to know you're not building a relationship with Jesus by serving. You're not taking that connection with God and connecting it when you serve. you are inspired by your growing and connecting relationship with God. And that will help you serve with a new heart condition. You ever hear the song, God, give me eyes to see the way you see? That is an expression of serving out of a connection with God, because then your care for people changes. It's not a, I have to do this because I have to follow rules because I'm supposed to be inspired by Jesus. No, 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 no. It starts with, man, God's done so much for me that if I could even help someone get that connection with God, maybe their life will feel just a little bit like what God's done for me. Number two in your notes, serving passionately flows out of a relationship within your church family. Check out this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, a side benefit to serving is that you actually start to get to have friends around here. Maybe you're new to Eastlake Church, or maybe you've been here for a while, and you don't really know many people here. Well, that's a bummer, and I want to help you change that. Not the bummer that you're new, but a bummer that you don't know anybody around here. Let's get to know people. Start talking to people after services. Join a ministry team. Join a group this next season. Get plugged in, because being known is a powerful thing. This is a great benefit to being on a ministry team. There is a big difference between someone who has community and they go through crisis versus someone who doesn't have community and they're going through crisis. I'll give you an example. This isn't crisis, but this is where it was needed. Armando said earlier that I helped replant our Venice Church campus. It was a great 2 years of our lives. My wife and I invested in a lot of people. We built some great friends, lifelong friends that we'll always be friends with. I have a father of three little boys. I brought one of my boys today to church. His name is Ezra. He's actually in the kids program right now, terrorizing those leaders. So please pray for them, because he is a wild monkey. And Ezra is like an avalanche, an unstoppable force. My wife, when she goes into labor, it's go time. Her longest labor lasted 3 hours, and that was on our first kid. The next labor, she literally was in the hospital for 10 minutes, and then Ezra was here. And then the third labor was just as quick. She's like, boom, boom, boom. So much that we're like, okay, too many kids, let's stop, no more of this. It's getting too crazy. As a pastor, I had responsibilities. I was running the Venice Beach location for our Eastlake Church Network. And we were 2.5 hours to 3 hours away from anyone who could call in and help us. If something happened to Armando on the way to work, he could call someone and they'd drive 30 minutes from the Chula Vista location to sub in and help lead you guys. Or maybe he'd be able to transition to one of the other staff members that are leading this campus, so that way the church would continue on this next Sunday. It was my wife and I were the only staff members. So we were 3 hours away, and she's telling me right before church, hey, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going into labor. And I'm like, of course you are, on the day that I'm supposed to speak. Okay, so I really quickly and so I ran over the church to all of my leaders and coaches and transitioned everything that I could, preached to a video camera so they had something to play back for Sunday services. Meanwhile, while I was transitioning everything, we had someone jumped in the car, one of the great ladies in our church named Talia. She grabbed her car, grabbed my wife. They jumped in the car and they headed towards the hospital for us. So that's person number one, stepping in a time of need. Then I met up with mom and Ezra was born. Everything was wonderful. Meanwhile, I have an older son. Someone had to be with him. So someone watched him during that morning last minute. Couple. So that's three people now who are stepping in a time of need. We transitioned that night because you stay in the hospital overnight, and if you are going to stay in a marriage, you don't leave mama and baby alone in the hospital overnight. So we had another couple come and watch my older son that night. Then the next day, two other people stepped in and watched my son. And then that night, two more people stepped in and watched my son. And then finally, we were all came home and we're one big happy family again. But the serving didn't stop there. Then people brought meals every day and people were setting up play dates for the older kids so that way mom could have a break. And they were babysitting for us and doing all kinds of great things so mom can have a break and get some rest. Before you knew it, we had over 20 people serving us within 7 days of having a kid. Now, my story is not unique. It's many people who get connected to community. They have a support system, a safety net, people who rally around them in a time of need, ready to go. Being on a ministry team and serving, this is a great opportunity for you to build relationships over time that our people will step in your time of need and rally around you. being on a ministry team or in a growth group, when you build these authentic relationships, and it takes a season. You're not going to have it in 1 week. You're not going to have it in 1 month. Do it for a period of time. When you have built the relationships through a ministry team or a growth group, you have what now, what I call the 3 a.m. friends. Those are the friends that you can call at 3 a.m. in the morning when your world feels like it's falling apart and say, pray for me. Help me. Can you just talk to me through this situation that I'm going through? Community is so important. I used to be also one of the Celebrate Recovery pastors in our network. Celebrate Recovery is a great Christ-centered 12-step program that helps with all hurts, habits, and hangups. And I had a counselor that specialized in drug and compulsive behaviors sit down with me and have lunch, and he told me, you know what, Chris? Groups like yours do something that I could never replace and probably is more powerful and effective than what I do for a living. He said, Chris, you create community in someone's life. You create community to let them know they're cared for, they're loved. You help them find next right steps. You have sponsors and accountability partners encouraging them to keep taking steps towards Jesus and sobriety. And you celebrate those people. And when they slip up and fail, you accept them back in with warm, welcoming hands. This is something that they don't have outside of those groups. And I could never replace that. That's why I always need to have people who are checking into me involved in a group. That's a counselor telling me that. Being in community is a healing process for your life. Don't exclude yourself from community. You were designed for relationships. And a great way to have a relationship is to build them on a ministry team and a growth group. And as you do that, you also in turn get to do the same for someone else. Maybe you're a person who grew up in a family where they didn't value relationships. Maybe you don't understand how important relationships are. Maybe you were actually once opened yourself up to a real vulnerable relationship and someone hurt you and cut you deep inside your heart. And now you've kind of shut your walls down and you don't let people in and you're starting to feel subconsciously unloved, unwelcomed, looked over. Maybe you feel that way about the church body currently, kind of been just sneaking in and out of services, and you feel like no one even knows I exist. Well, let them know you're here. Get to know people. Maybe you feel that way about God. Maybe you feel God doesn't love you. Maybe you feel God doesn't want you. Maybe you feel God is overlooking you. God's promises affirm the opposite. Check out Jeremiah 31. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. If that's not enough, check out Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of on a palm of my hand. I don't know about you, but I love that word illustration that I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Some of you are thinking, sweet, Jesus is all tatted up. Think about it. Engraving's more of a carving. Less ink, more carving. And I don't know about you, but if you're going to have something that permanent in the palm of your hand, it's not someone you dislike. It's not someone you unlove. It's not someone you're overlooking, but it's someone you're wildly crazy about and want to keep at the forefront of your mind and be like, look, I love that person so much that they're a visual reminder that whenever I do anything, there they are. Think about this. That's the creator of the universe, and you're on the palm of his hand. That is an amazing thing to think about. The creator of all living things cares about you. That sounds like you're loved, wanted, and looked over constantly by God. Not only are you valued and cared for by God, you're also needed and necessary. Check out 1 Corinthians. Now here is what I am trying to say. All of you together are the body of Christ, and each one of you is separate and necessary part of it. In your notes, can you underline separate and then underline necessary? Underline the separate and necessary because that applies to you. No one in this room gets out on that. You are 100% unique and you're necessary to what God wants to do, not just in your life, but in other people's life. You are one of a kind, irreplaceable. And when you bring what you offer to the table, powerful things start to happen. I like to think of this in a variety of ways, but to give you an example of how uniquely gifted we are, I'm just going to talk about three pastors that are on staff in our church network. Your Pastor Armando, Pastor Freddie, and me, Chris, okay? Pastor Armando, he loves to make disciples. At any given day, you can go into the Starbucks, probably the one off Saturn? No. Maybe the one to drive through, the new one? Oh, he's upgraded. Okay, the new one. You can go in there. So if you ever need Armando, just go to Starbucks. You'll find him at one of them. But Armando loves to disciple people. And it's not uncommon that I would go in the Starbucks and see him having a coffee appointment with someone in a book or writing notes and sharing in deep discussion. And I've gone in multiple times, not looking for him, just wanting caffeine. And I see him yet again with the same group of people, caring for them, explaining big theological ideas so that they could understand it and live it out in their life. Armando is great at making disciples, and because of that, he has some deep friendships with people. Pastor Freddie, he loves to care for people in a time of need. Freddie is great when you're going through a crisis. He prays for you. He gives you scripture. He gives you a cell phone number. He's there by your side to walk through you through the next season. Freddie's also great to help you transition in life. Maybe you're approaching a quinceañera. He's all about helping you prepare and get ready for that big day and what this day marks as you transition into the next phase of your life. And the same is true for your wedding day. He loves to help you prepare with biblical counseling on marriage and what to expect and help you transition to that day where you're at the altar saying, I do, and then the follow through of cheering you guys on as you live out this marriage. Freddie is a great care pastor. And then there's me, who doesn't like any of that stuff. It's not that I don't want it to be done, it's just work for me, okay? I'll do it for you because I love you, but I'm going to be honest, I'm like, at the end of the day, tapping out exhausted after a workload of that. But I'll tell you where I do shine. If I wasn't in the church, I'd like to think that I'd be an entrepreneur because I love building new things, launching them, training people, sending it out, almost like growing a business. I love to start new seminars, train the leaders to run those seminars, market it to the church or to people outside of the church, get a crowd going there, help that crowd transition to understand the content we're teaching so that way they're more equipped to live on mission for Jesus and whatever we're trying to teach or explain in that seminar. I love doing that in church bodies. I love doing that for the Venice campus when it was like under 40 people meeting there and helping it get to 200 or 300 people so I could transition it to its long-term pastor. I love building systems, thinking of innovative ideas, how do we get more people into the church building. I mean, I can't help it, I'm standing around before church today, I'm looking at the wall thinking, what if we put a picture here of the last baptism and just a picture over here of people smiling so they see the warmth of this campus? I can't help but innovate and try to make things better and launch new systems and train new leaders, and that's the way that I'm wired. That's my sweet spot. Most pastors, that's exhausting. For me, that's what I want to do all day, every day. Now, all three pastors, they're all great to have on a church staff. And if you had all three of those skills on a church staff, your church is going to be rocking and rolling. But to only have one of those skill sets on the staff and not to have the others would impair a church leadership. Now, same is true for you. You are unique, 100% unique. You have a special influence that God has given you, a special way to connect with other people. You bring something to the table that's uniquely you, and you alone will impact what God is doing here in our church community and in our bigger, broader Imperial Beach and South San Diego community as you choose to serve God and serve others. The body of Christ needs you. We call it the body of Christ because we are all part of what God is doing. And as we live on mission for Jesus and serve people, it's like having Jesus on earth. We become the people who love like Jesus and say, wow, God might be real because why is there so many people who care about my existence and in my time of need when I'm not even part of their community? Okay, why church? Here's your next fill in the blank. Because we grow by taking on appropriate levels of responsibility and service in God's family. Let's check out 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they originate in God's Spirit. Your gifting is handed out by God, and it originated in God, but it's everywhere. There's giftings all over this room. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. All the ministries of the Imperial Beach campus here, they're everywhere. They're all over. We do all kinds of things here, but they all originate with God. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. What you do in your community and here in this broader church community is an expression of God. But God is using you, and behind it, it's Him. It's His heartbeat. That's why we serve out of that relationship with God. Now check this out, because this is really important. Each person is given something to do. Uh-oh, you're unique, and there's something for you to do. And check this out. That shows who God is. Whoa, that sounds like we are the church that's bringing hope to the world. You're unique, you're given something to do, and you reveal who God is by doing it. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits from it. That means all of you get to do this. Everyone benefits on it in this room, and we benefit from everybody else in this room as well. God has gifted you uniquely. And when we link arms together, it's not just brewing the coffee on the Sunday morning, but it's also putting out parking cones and signaling people where to park. It's pulling out the folding chairs because we had to add like four rows today. It's making sure that the greeters are in place and the programs are stuffed before church. Just making sure the kids' rooms are bright and entertaining for those kids to learn about Jesus at an age-appropriate level. It's about being a welcoming and warming environment where it's like, wow, this church didn't haphazardly like come together today, but they were ready for me as a guest to experience who God is. And if they take this much time to show me who God is, maybe, just maybe, it comes from authenticity of a real God. When we link arms together, powerful things start to happen. Care starts to happen. Love starts to happen. Justice starts to happen. Growth starts to happen. And we literally become the hands and feet of Jesus on earth, showing the joy and love that we have for God. Maybe you're at a place in ministry where you're like, man, I don't know, Chris, if you know what I do, but to ask me to brew coffee or be a parking attendant or a greeter, like I'm a high-level executive, or I've evolved since then, and now I'm doing something bigger and better in law enforcement, and I run teams of people. Well, that's great. Maybe we can find something that matches your ministry caliber. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with someone serving in a humble way to show others that you care. Sometimes that speaks loudly about who God is. When an executive or a principal or a high-level law enforcement officer is shaking hands and welcoming people into the church building or putting out chairs. When I left the Venice Church campus and I accepted the role as executive pastor, I started a new ministry team. And one of the things that my team has told me a few times over is what they did not expect their executive to do was to get his hands dirty. Meaning I get my hands dirty with them. I'm helping them. When they have a big event, I'm putting out chairs with them. I'm setting up tables. I'm putting out the t-shirts at the baptism with them. I'm folding towels. I'm saying, throw me in there. You're low on volunteer numbers. I'll work a greeter cart and show people around the campus. Why? Because not only do I want them to succeed, but if I can be part, even the smallest part of someone's God story, then I get to be part of something that's way bigger than me. And I thank God that we get to do this each and every day. You get to be a miracle in someone's life, even when you don't realize it, when you serve each time in our church community. Hugh Halter said, who's a great pastor and author, he's written a book at the bottom of your notes, but don't pay attention to that right now. Hugh Halter said, one person cannot change the world, but you can change the world of one person. You can't do it for everybody, but we should be caring about somebody. And we could radically change someone by serving a person. Here's some great people who are part of our church network. Pay attention to how they used their family to serve and how they realized that not only were they impacting one other family by serving together, they realized that they were part of a bigger effort called Cannonball, where thousands of people were linking arms together to make sure that a new family or not a new family, but a family had a brand new home, and they could stop living literally in a cardboard shack. Check this out.
So we've been coming to church here for 14 years now.
We got involved with Cannonball a year ago when it got started, and our kids are at the age now where they can kind of get what's happening. And we talked to them from the beginning, hey, this is what we're doing as a family, this is what it's going to mean. And that's an important thing that we want to teach them, and we want them to know about what it means to follow Jesus. It's kind of a cool timing that Cannonball's come along at the ages that our kids are at.
We were really challenged many years ago to do a full tithe and just see what those things did in our lives. That's been a cool thing to walk out over the years, and when the challenge of Cannonball came to actually increase and jump in with that, we were up for it. And it's been a challenge too in some areas with our finances, but also we know that we're called to give our time as well. The giving of my time sometimes is almost more difficult at this stage in life, where we're just limited and we have lots of activities with our family and two teenage kids that have 90 different things we're going in different directions for.
One of the temptations we've faced in different stages of life is we've been long on time, short on money. So we've thought, oh, we'll just volunteer a lot and maybe not give, or vice versa. We've got, you know, money that we can maybe spare, but our time is really short. So it's been a really good challenge for us to give both of our time and our money. So the Eastlake Church Network has been partnering with an organization in Tijuana to build houses multiple times a year. And it's over the span of a weekend that we get involved. So a few weeks ago, we hopped in a couple vans with 19 people. And Saturday and Sunday, we are on site in a neighborhood in Tijuana building a house for a family who is really living in a shack. It's cardboard. It's dirt floors.
We're able to go into a neighborhood and meet the family on day one and to show up, and there's just a slab on the ground and all the materials, and so it was a fun experience to take some things I've done around my house and show our kids how to drywall, how to roof, how to do some things that really were difficult, and it was work.
I think once the build team said go, I don't think anyone stopped moving. And by the end of that first day, by lunchtime, we had the walls and the roof framing up. It was amazing. And so to look back on Sunday and see how much we could get done. There's so much work, but with 19 people and then some of the build team, it really was amazing to could build a house in 2 days. And it just reiterated that message of, gosh, when we all work together, just collectively what we can get done.
One of the things that I shared with the family when we were handing the keys over was that it was the 19 of us that were sitting there, but it was really our whole church network that had been given to Cannonball. Yeah, we were standing right there, but it was just really an encouragement, I think, to the family to know that it wasn't just 19 of us, it was thousands of people that have given to Cannonball.
And you just start to see the waves upon waves upon waves that you knew kind of in your mind existed, but then to see it actually happening was really powerful and really encouraging.
Be able to give our time to go on a trip like this and show our kids that it's not just the money piece, but it's also our time and our effort and what we can do for other people.
Ultimately, we want to make a difference in the world beyond our own life, and Cannonball is a great way to do that. We can change lives in our community, in our church network, and around the world.
Again, offering your skills and your service is not something we do because we want a relationship with God. It's something we do because God has inspired us. It's not about doing chores. It's about showing people we radically love them and are crazy about them. Do you think that building a house is an easy task? It could easily feel like a chore doing construction. Yet in that moment, that crew is so excited to bless a family that's been literally close to, I mean, it's homeless. The cardboard doesn't count as a house. And they're going to radically transform this family's life, breaking the chain of poverty. Now this family can focus on going to school and work and not have to figure out shelter and security for the night. It radically changes the community where the whole community now feels encouraged and inspired and thinks, maybe God loves me too if he loves them. That's why we serve, because we get to extend the joy and the goodness of who God is and what he does in our life to other people. Again, Hugh Halter, that same pastor I referenced earlier, he said this, leverage is a bunch of people doing small things together to make a huge impact. Number four in your notes. Why church? Because in a church, we experience the beautiful give and take that is part of all healthy relationships and leads us to maturity. Again, earlier, I talked about that give and take with my wife and I and how people gave to us in our time of need when we were having a child. There's going to be times where you're going to feel on the up and up and life is good and it's just kind of bubbling over and you can't help but spill goodness of what God's doing in your life into other people's lives. And then there's going to be other times where life is going to hit you hard. Maybe it's something you did, or maybe it's something that really wasn't your fault at all, yet God, life has seemed to just kind of implode on you. And you're going to need other people to step in and care for you. That's an okay thing. In healthy relationships, it goes both ways, which means we don't only just take, we also give back when we can. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture, we're quick to say, well, if Jesus is to be our inspiration, we should serve. But it's easy for us to not look at God and realize that he actually was in a give-and-take relationship with a lot of people. Check this out. Jesus borrowed someone's donkey to ride it to Jerusalem. Jesus asked the woman at the well for a cup of water. Jesus had a woman, or asked a woman, well, he didn't ask, but he allowed a woman who had a tarnished reputation to wash his feet. Jesus needed someone to help him carry his cross. And Jesus borrowed someone's tomb. God was always in give and take relationships because that's what a healthy relationship looks like. Even if it was just friends or acquaintances, God entered into those. I'm not going to jump into the verse because we're running out of time, but in the bottom of your notes, there's a verse called Ephesians 4:11, and it describes this big theme that we're talking about today, that the church collectively gets together to encourage each other to live for Jesus and impact people for Jesus. And as we do that, we become this living expression of God on earth. Together, when we serve as a community, we create environments. We create environments for people to be known and for you to be known. When we serve together, we create environments for people to be cared for and for us to be cared for. When we serve together, we create environments for people to grow deeper, and then we get to grow deeper because those environments exist around us. So you might be asking yourself, where do I start? What do I do? I don't know. Go to someone who's serving today out on the patio or in the kids ministry or in the tech booth or on the band. I'd love to join that team. It might not be my calling, but I'm going to try it out. When we go to a gym for the first time, we might be fat and flabby and not ready to deadlift 500 pounds, right? Grab the smallest barbells, the Jazzercise exercise bars, and just start pumping that iron. Serving's the same way. It's a muscle that we build up over time. Start somewhere. It doesn't have to be your one-in-a-lifetime calling. You're not putting a wedding ring on that ministry team. You're just practicing to get to know who people are and seeing where you might be gifted to fit in our church community. Maybe be humble enough just to go up to our pastor Armando and be, Armando, where do you need someone? Just put me in. Put me in. I want to help. Set up maybe that supernatural team that somehow makes this a great environment for the church to gather every weekend. That's a great team to be part of. Maybe it's security and you're part of Border Patrol, or maybe you're a law enforcement or military, or maybe just a mall cop. We could use you on security. Or maybe you just want to serve God in a different area. Maybe it's in parking or coffee or in kids center. Or maybe it's midweek with following up with connection cards and praying for people or hosting a group. Maybe it's helping run the seminars with the growth tracks and the money studies and all this stuff. Jump in somewhere. Take a step. Start exercising that serving muscle. Get plugged in and see how God has uniquely gifted you to connect with other people. Allow yourself to be known so you can be cared for and have a support system in a time of need and support others when they're in their time of need. And you're going to be able to impact people who are far from Jesus with the good news of Jesus. And that is how we become the hope for the world. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we get to be part of your plan for humanity. God, I pray that you encourage us to not let this fall on deaf ears, but this week we find ways to care for people individually when we scatter throughout the weeks through our personal lives. And then when we collectively come together, I pray that you help us live on mission for you here by joining in on ministry teams and being part of something. You created each and every person in this room uniquely, wonderfully, And now you have a plan for each and every person's life in this room, plans of good, and you want to help them be good in other people's lives too. Thank you for that. Thank you for including us in your bigger, broader plan to save the world. In Jesus' name, amen.